Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
Good morning, everyone. Let me add another welcome if you are here, especially for the first time visiting us here at Deep Creek. And what a wonderful privilege that we have in Australia to be able to get together on Christmas Day and worship the Lord together in person. My name is Pedro. I'm one of the ministers here, and we are going to explore and conclude, of course, this series that we started in Advent, exploring the theme of peace. What an important theme that everyone is looking for in the world, the peace that anyone is expecting in the life. But before doing that, I would like to start with running a test, a little test, to see how focused everyone is. I invite all the children. I know that it's hard to be focused, especially after spending time on Christmas Eve last night, going home at 12. But let's give it a try to see that. Any children, parents, adults, I invite all of them to pay close attention and see in the video that you guess right or not. We are going to watch a short video and watch carefully. And this is the question. To count how many times does the team in white pass the ball? How many times does the team in white pass the ball? Are you ready?
How many times does the team in white pass the ball?
Okay. All right, let's see. Put your hands up if you think 11. Oh, yeah. So, 12. Oh, we got a couple of people. Yeah. 13. Wow, the majority of you. Yeah, 13. Let's see. I don't think that we've got enough candy cane to pass around for those who guessed right. But anyway, let's see the second part of the video and, of course, the answer to that.
If you answered 13 passes, you are correct.
Yeah.
But did you see the moonwalking gorilla?
So let's give a round of applause to those who guessed right, 13. Yeah, the answer was 13. But the second question, did you see that? Did you notice the moonwalking gorilla in the video for the first time? Well, after watching this video, it's clear that how it is to get distracted and miss what is already in front of us. The same can happen with Christmas. I recently came across a 2020 article from the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, as we remember, with the headline saying, "Days of joining Santa on his throne or sitting on his knee in Christmas photos over." It talked about how, due to the pandemic, many people were upset that traditional Santa photo shoots had to change. For some, the biggest concern this Christmas seemed to be the inability to sit on Santa's knee for a photo. And while I understand the nostalgia and the sentiment behind those photos and is part of the culture, and especially children enjoy that, but it struck me how much some people could focus on things like this while missing the true meaning of Christmas. We know that the only true story of Christmas is the one that we find in the Bible. It's a story of hope and peace that is found in the humble birth of a baby who came to bring salvation to the world. Through Jesus, God entered our broken world, born of a virgin laid in a manger and worshipped by a stranger. He grew up to lay down his life. He went from the cradle to the cross, from the womb to the tomb. And then he rose from the dead to prove his power over sin and death. So that for anyone who believes in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can have your sins forgiven and go to heaven when you die. That's really the whole Christmas story. During this series, we've been exploring the different people God used to fulfill his plan, and each with unique names and stories. As you remember, Zechariah means God has remembered again. God has remembered. He has remembered again the promises that he gave before. John means God is gracious. He is gracious in preparing the way. Simeon, who we met in our reading today, means God has heard. And of course, Jesus means Yahweh saves. The Lord saves, a name that the angel had given Jesus before he was conceived. A name that declares the ultimate truth of Christmas. Yahweh saves. The story of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem is rich with meaning and purpose. Every detail that we read today shows how God perfectly planned it all to fulfill his promises and bring salvation to the world. Nothing is random or accidental. We're going to explore three important things in the passage that we read today. We see prophecies, places, and people. When we read this passage, we see how prophecies, places, and people all work together in God's perfect plan. The fulfillment of the prophecies shows God's faithfulness, and the places reveal his purpose, and the people remind us of his heart for everyone from every nation. First, the prophecies about Jesus' birth remind us that God always keeps his word. Hundreds of years before his birth, the prophet Micah wrote, "But you, Bethlehem, out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel." Even though Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, God used a Roman census to ensure Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, just as he promised. Isaiah, many years ago, also prophesied that the Messiah would be light to the Gentiles and bring salvation to all nations. The second one, the places. Bethlehem is famous for two things. The name means house of bread. Beit in Hebrew means house, and lehem is bread. House of bread. And it was famous for producing grains and bread. And how fitting that Jesus, who later says, "I am bread of life, whoever comes to me will never go hungry," was born in a place known for bread. Just as bread sustains physical life that we live with, Jesus came to satisfy the deepest hunger of our soul. And the second thing that Bethlehem is famous for is for raising sheep that were used in temple sacrifice in Jerusalem, just a few kilometers away. These lambs were set apart to atone for sin. And in the same way, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was born in Bethlehem to become the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And finally, the people. The people involved in this story reveal God's heart for humanity. Mary and Joseph were an ordinary, humble couple, yet God chose them to carry out his extraordinary plan. The first to hear the news of Jesus' birth were not kings, were not famous people, were shepherds, lowly and often overlooked people. Yet God sent his angels to them, showing that his message of salvation is for everyone, no matter their status. Then there is Simeon, a man who had been waiting his life to see the Messiah. When he held Jesus, he praised God, recognizing that this child was the fulfillment of God's promise and the Savior for all people. In this passage, there are two wonderful declarations about who Jesus is. From heaven, the angels proclaim he's as Savior. As a Savior, Christ the Lord, bringing good news, a great joy for all people. From the earth, Simeon, led by the Holy Spirit, declares Jesus as the salvation God prepared for all nations, a light for the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. Here at Deep Creek, we are a community beautifully made up different cultures, languages, ethnicities, and backgrounds and group. And the message of prophecy, places, and people speaks directly to us today. Last week, a Muslim friend of mine approached me with an interesting question. He thought that Christmas and New Year were the same thing. For 42 years, he had lived with this misunderstanding, which reminded me how easily the true meaning of Christmas can be missed. I explained to him that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus, not just a holiday or a new calendar year. It's about how Jesus brings new life, not just a new year. That conversation opened the door for me to share with him about Jesus, about the real hope and the real peace that Christmas represents. A message for all people, including him, including you and I. God has always used unexpected ways to lead people to encounter Jesus. We all have different stories, different testimonies of how God has saved us through Jesus. Now let me bring this home today for us. Just as God used the senses, angels, and people in the past, he's still using different moments in our lives to lead to him. To lead us to him, to encounter with Jesus. We all know that how broken and polarized this world is. But we often convince ourselves that the brokenness of the world is something out there, far away from us. Something we can observe but avoid. Of course, this world is broken and polarized. Wars, conflicts, and injustice surround us. But here's the truth. The brokenness isn't just out there. It's also within us. Let me connect this with the video that we watched earlier. Just as we were distracted and missed a moonwalking gorilla, we can easily sometimes focus on the world's visible messiness while ignoring the cracks within ourselves. Maybe we point to the big issues like poverty, violence, wars, or corruption and think that's the problem with humanity. But the truth is, the same pride, selfishness, and struggles that cause those big issues often live in our own hearts too. And this is what makes the message of Christmas so powerful. Jesus came to bring peace not only to the world, but also to each of us. This peace isn't just about fixing external problems. It's about restoring what's already broken in us. Jesus offers peace that heals hearts, bridges divides, and brings hope to all people and nations. His peace changes the world, starting from the inside out. Let me ask you this question. What events or circumstances in your life is God using right now to lead you to a personal encounter with Jesus? What is He using to draw you closer to Himself? Maybe it's a difficult situation. Maybe it's a hard or difficult diagnosis that has you worried. A painful loss. Or the heartache of a broken relationship. It could even be disappointments because life didn't turn out the way you expected. Sometimes it's our own mistakes or wrong decisions. And sometimes the hurt caused by others that bring us to a place where we lose our peace. And that's where we realize we need Jesus. But it's not always about difficult or painful events. Some of you may be living what seems like the good life. Success, good health, wealth, and great relationships. But even in the fullness of life, you may feel an emptiness, a longing that nothing in this world can satisfy. God can use both the hardship and the joys of life to bring us to the place where we finally encounter Jesus, surrender to Him, and know Him in a personal way. This peace isn't just a nice sentiment, it's a deep, lasting peace that unites us with God and with each other. So this Christmas, as we gather together, let's celebrate the Savior who unites us as one family in Him, as we are longing for His second coming. Christmas reminds us that Jesus is the peace for all people, all nations. He came to heal the brokenness within us and to bring restoration to our relationship with God. This peace isn't just for one group or nation, it's for everyone. This peace reminds that Christmas is about encountering the Prince of Peace who brings healing and new life. As we are going to sing the next carols together, I want to invite you to think about this peace. For those who are not yet Christians, this peace is an invitation to come and meet Jesus, the Prince of Peace who offers forgiveness, hope, and a new life. And of course, for those who are already Christians, if you find yourself weary or in need of your faith to be renewed or refreshed, I invite you to seek Him anew and let His peace fill and restore your heart again. Amen.